What is the greatest struggle that you have ever endured? Welcome back to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund. I'm your host, and I authored the study guide for our continuing 13-week study on Bible prophecy and how to understand the allusions and the symbols and the pictures that we see throughout the Bible that help us understand prophecy better. I have as conversation partners with me again Dr. Joseph Branica, professor of chemistry here at Walla Walla University, and Dr. George Perez, who teaches in our School of Business. And that means we have some unique perspectives, but we all come together from one main point of view as Christians around God's Word here. And today we're looking at the Psalms one more time and how some of the Psalms project a good future. But for the moment, what are some of the things that you've, or something that you've struggled with that's been a hardship for you?
The thing that comes to mind, when it says the struggle that you've endured, there was, we won't go into all the details, but there was a time when I was just finished my undergraduate and I just started my graduate work. I had moved away from home. I moved away. My roommate was my brother. I'd moved away from all of these sort of things. I was in a town where I didn't know anybody. And I was also struggling with a bit of a crisis of faith at the time. I'd had a classmate of mine who was currently a student missionary ends up getting horribly murdered. There was a bit of a crisis of faith, and things kind of came down to a head where I was like, I need to decide, like, does God exist? Is this for me? I'd been raised as a Christian my whole life, right? But at some point, you have to decide, is this your own faith or is this your parents' faith? And there was a struggle there. Essentially, what happened is I dove into the Word all the time. I was studying all day at school, and all morning and all evening I was in the Word trying to figure things out, and I came out stronger on the other end of it. So yeah, I'd say that's probably my greatest struggle.
Kind of the wrestling with God like Jacob did.
Absolutely.
And saying, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me if you're there. Mm-hmm. If you're not there, then I'm walking away, but if you're there, I'm going to hang on.
Absolutely.
Okay. George, how about you? A struggle you're willing to share?
I think everybody has. It's just that we want to share. There was a health situation in a person I love very much, and I had to go through that process. It lasted a year. And I kept telling myself, it's not why it's happening. It's what's the purpose of this? Let's find the common ground on this, and God will provide. And the word struggle, I think, was because at the beginning, you start questioning, right? What did I do wrong? Or what about if something else happens? Should I start preparing for something else? And that was the struggle part, the decisions part. But I'll tell you what, my faith was strong. And I think in one moment I said to God, God, if I need a miracle in my life, I think this is the time to do that. But I'm not asking you for one. I know you have a plan. And I can tell you that God came through. And it was so wonderful to witness that and have a testimony around that time.
When we read the Old Testament, we see Israel struggling often a crisis of faith as well. And that led to all kinds of other crises that they faced. And the message of the prophets was a fairly consistent one. Number one, you're sinning. You're sinning. Like, they had a very clear definition of what sin was, and Israel was blowing it. They were treating people around them horribly. They were worshiping other gods through idols, and they were turning to the nations to be allies. They were mistreating the poor and the widow and the orphan. They were neglecting the Sabbath. They were bringing sacrifices as ritual, as we talked about in a previous lesson, but their hearts were not in it to know God. And so, number one, message of the prophets, you're sinning. Number two, message of the prophets, you need to repent. You need to turn around. You're going the wrong way. You're headed for a cliff and death. Number three, if you don't repent, there's going to be judgment, and God is going to bring that judgment on the house of Israel first before it comes to the nations. And then number four, and this is the good news part, that the struggles of Israel had a potential to end in good news, that God would take a faithful remnant of his people who were willing to walk with him through the hard times and trust in him, and he was willing to make of them a new nation, and he was willing to make of them a great people, and he would restore the land, and he would make the desert bloom like a rose, and he would make Israel, instead of being a byword and a curse, he would make them a word of blessing to the nations, right? And we find this all through the Old Testament prophets. We see this in some of the Psalms as well. I want to read a Psalm, and I'm going to read a few verses of it at a time. And I want each of you, if you would, tell me maybe how we might see this apply to us today. Is it true? And do you see it happening? And we may not get through this whole Psalm, but I'd just like us to work our way through it. All right. This is Psalm 46. Our lesson encourages us to listen to this one. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah set to Alamoth, a song. We don't have the tune. All we have is the lyrics. I wish I knew what this sounded like. Here it is, the opening line. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Relevant?
Absolutely. Before we dive into that, I'm going to chase a rabbit down. Sons of Korah. That's an interesting thing. These headings aren't just thrown in there for no reason, right?
Correct.
We have the Old Testament story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who were in a rebellion against God and a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, and the ground opened up and swallowed them. This is their sons. This is Korah's sons. And it says, you know, that the sons were not swallowed up. It specifically tells us that. And then later, these guys are writing these psalms that are all about how awesome God is. God had grace on them. He could have swallowed them up along with their dad, along with all of the other rebellion. And he had grace on them. And he saved them from that. And they have these amazing psalms that are all about, you are our refuge, you are our strength, you're the one protecting us from all these things. And I just love that.
It's a bit of irony to see their own family suffer the, we might say, the judgment of God. Mm-hmm. And then they turn around and they say, no, this is a great God. He is our refuge. He's here for us.
Absolutely.
The word refuge, is it meaningful?
Yes, it's a place of solitude, right? It's a place where you can go and find peace or find, the next word says strength, right? So I think it's meaningful. And it goes along with the cities of refuge, for example.
Ah, say more.
Well, provided to those who, with certain characteristics or circumstances, had to escape or move away because of their lives, were in danger, and then they found that space where they
were. A place where they were protected.
Protected.
Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. We live in a world that is changing, I think, right? Geographically sometimes and climatically. Is it possible that this part is meaningful?
Absolutely.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time you open up the news, it seems like you see something about either a natural disaster or some political strife or some crazy changes that are going on in the world. I find that interesting. Mountains slip into the heart of the sea.
Right.
That kind of sounds like rising seas due to melting ice and all these sorts of things, which seems to be what's going on right now. But God says, don't be afraid. Like, I got you, right?
I would not want to be on the sliding part, but yeah. What, George?
The powerful word here is we will not fear. And when I read the rest, it talks about control. Even though you have no control on those circumstances, even though you don't understand what is happening or you cannot explain the reason of this, I will not fear.
Will not fear. Verses 4 and 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will be helping her when morning dawns. Is that meaningful to you? I have always loved living where there's a river nearby. Mm. I've grown up with rivers nearby, and the mountains, for me, a mountain with a river, when you have fresh streams, flowing water, you know you can live there. You know you can survive, right? And here it's a stream that makes glad the whole city of God. What nation or city can you think of in Old Testament history that had a river flowing through it?
Babylon. The Euphrates flowing through it.
Yeah. Right through the heart of it.
Eden.
And New Jerusalem takes Babylon and says, wait a second, no, there's a better city that has a river flowing through the streets of it, right?
Yes.
Verse 6, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. Does that speak to your world today?
Absolutely. In recent years, we've become a much more global society with, you know, communication, internet, planes, everything that you can communicate much more globally. And that has in some ways been really great. But in some ways, now you can have battles with people on the other side of the world. And there's a lot more strife that is occurring because of that. Nations are warring against nations. And we can trust God in all of this. I will not be afraid, even though all of these bad things are happening in the world.
doesn't matter what the world is saying or doing, right? If you keep listening to God's voice, then you will be secure. You will have that confidence that He is in control. The Lord of hosts is with us. So there is not enough noise in the world that can cover whatever God is trying to tell you.
I like that phrase. I want to quote that. In fact, I'm going to quote that later. There's not enough noise in the world to drown out what God is trying to say. Awesome. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Would that be a helpful picture of God right now, a God who brings wars to an end?
Absolutely. We keep going back to this. You turn on the news and you see war going on in Ukraine and Russia and various places throughout the world. There's currently wars going on.
And the fear of war in others.
And the fear of war in pretty much everywhere else, right?
Yeah.
It's something that is on all of our minds. And clearly the image here is that's not what God wants. God does not want war. War is an abomination to Him. He wants peace. And this is Him who burns the chariots. He's destroying all the implements of war, right? He's cutting the spears in two. He's destroying those ones and He's bringing peace.
And we will turn our swords into plowshares, right?
Yes.
This is the kind of imagery that we see. I'm going to finish the psalm really quickly, and then we'll give our closing words here. Cease striving, and some versions say be silent, but the word is actually in the Hebrew, just stop. Stop with all the noise and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Notice he repeats this refrain several times. He is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This would be an important psalm for people going through difficulty. When we read through the prophets in the Old Testament, such as Isaiah 65, and I want to encourage you on your own, go read through Isaiah 65 and look at God's promise to create a new heaven and a new earth where wars come to an end, where people live a long time, like the years of a tree. People build houses and plant vineyards, and they eat the fruit of their own vineyard, and they live in peace. That is what Revelation also pictures in chapters 21 and 22. Well, thank you both for your conversation with me again this week, Joseph and George. Thank you, Kristen Byerly and Rick Baskett, for doing our sound engineering. And thank you for listening in for The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.